Trinity of love, maker of man and woman in your image. Help us to accept ourselves as we are, to know our need for each other. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Contrast and tension. Contrast and tension, options and choices, and the consequences of those choices. Our lives are often consumed with these very issues. Our scripture readings this morning reflect these same issues. Our gospel lesson today gives us the story of Nicodemus coming to see Jesus, and we are immediately confronted with one of the contrasts that runs continually through the fourth gospel, that of darkness and light. For John, darkness represents separation from the presence of God. By contrast, light represents the very presence and splendor of God. Think back to the magnificent prologue of this gospel, wherein the true light which enlightened everyone was coming into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So Nicodemus comes to see Jesus. We are told he is a Pharisee and a leader of the people. We can assume he is a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of ancient Israel, therefore a very important and powerful man. He calls Jesus Rabbi, a sign of respect, and speaks of knowing of the great sign Jesus has performed. The gospeler gives us a big hint of what is really going on. For Nicodemus comes to see Jesus. Conversation between them proceeds, we come to see that Nicodemus is caught up in the physical, empirical context of what is being said and is unable to truly grasp the spiritual message Jesus is giving. He sees the sign, but he's unable to hear the message. Some of the ambiguity and tension arises in the choice of words Jesus uses as related by John. Unlike Hebrew, Aramaic, or English, the original Greek word translated in today's reading as being born from above also means at the same time being born anew or again. This is part of the tension of the reading. There is not a primary and secondary meaning. There is no main use and a footnote. Rather, one must hold both concepts simultaneously and equally. Jesus is challenging Nicodemus to expand his thinking beyond the physical realm he understands and thinks he can control. But Nicodemus is unable to make this transition, hearing only born again in a very concrete and physical way. Jesus tries a new approach, speaking of being born of water and the Spirit. Now, water certainly speaks of the physical aspects of childbirth, as every mother in the room knows all too well. For the Christian reader, water evokes our new spiritual life in baptism, although this imagery would not have been part of Nicodemus' thinking. One is also reminded of Jesus referring to himself as the living water, from which one will never thirst, the very wellspring of eternal life. Tries yet another example in an attempt to get Nicodemus to understand. He speaks of the wind, which we can hear and see its effect, but which we cannot pinpoint, define, control. Again, we have a word which carries significant double meaning. In both the Greek and Hebrew, the word for wind also means spirit. Speaking of the blowing wind in this context would raise evocative scriptural imagery, both for Nicodemus and for the community for whom John was writing. Consider the Spirit of God moving across the formless void just before there was light, or God breathing life into the nostrils of Adam, newly created from the clay. But poor old Nick confounded and unable to comprehend. How can these things be? He asked. And that is the last we hear from Nicodemus. He emerges from the darkness in search of the light, and not seeing it, even when in its very presence, he apparently fades back into the night. This is not the end of Nicodemus, however. We hear from him twice more in the fourth gospel, both times within the context of Good Friday. By that time, Nicodemus indeed seemed to have experienced a remarkable change of heart. He confronts the Sanhedrin and points out the illegality of their proceedings during their sham trial of Jesus at night after his arrest in the garden. After Jesus is crucified, he appears with Joseph of Arimathea, bringing spices and ointments to prepare Jesus' body. So where do we fit into this often complex mix of contrast, tension, and choice? How often do any of us, when confronted with something new or unusual or different from what we are used to, react like Nicodemus? How can this be, we ask. We've never done it that way before, we protest. It's just not done that way. I must admit, I am no great lover of unexpected surprises, unless, of course, they come in small, exquisitely wrapped packages. Or maybe in envelopes with a small oval cut out in the front, exposing the face of a dead president. Or better yet, Ben Franklin. Truth be told, I must confess I have used all of these arguments and many more when faced with uncomfortable circumstances that I didn't particularly want to face, but with concepts I wasn't quite prepared to wrap my head around, or with events that moved me out of my comfort zone. I am afraid I have probably channeled poor Nicodemus more often than I care to admit. But Jesus is telling us that in our knowledge and certainty, and even our we must remain open to the working of the Spirit in our lives. We must be prepared to at least consider what we are given with new perspective and an openness of heart and mind. We must consider viewing things through the focusing lens of our faith rather than the often smudged spectacles of our own certitude. It is a challenge. Jesus, the true light, has come into the world to enlighten everyone. He calls us all to continue our journey with him in the dazzling light of unending day and the brilliant.